The Bible says our anchor is both sure and steadfast. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like for you to turn with us to the unusual place of Lamentations, chapter 3. Most of you are aware that my wife and I, we're still going to school, still trying to learn more of the Word of God. Been going to school for 8 or 9 years now, and still trying to learn more. And our class has turned its attention to the book of Lamentations. And it's really teaching us Lamentations is an acrostic in Hebrew poetry. And I'm sure you don't want to hear all that stuff, because I'm telling you, it's just about bored me to tears. And I see a real lack of the teaching of the Word of God. But something that we haven't come to, we've dealt with the first two chapters, but something that's on my heart this morning is in verse number 25, 26, and 27. No, I did not get this from school. Yes, God did give it to me. And no, I didn't get it from some other preacher. I don't believe in that. So I believe you preach what God gives you, it don't count. Amen? So verse 25 of Lamentations 3, and if you would stand this morning, reverence to reading God's holy word. The Bible says in verse number 25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him. Have you ever been impatient?
Amen.
Been out of shape, wanting to make things happen? He said, the Lord is good to them that wait for Him. So just wait on Him, okay? Don't do anything on your own. Just wait for Him. To the soul that seeketh Him, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He knows the problem you're in this morning. He's keenly aware of your situation. My friend, there's going to come a day when that problem's going to pass and He's going to deliver you from it. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. I want to look at verse number 27. I want to preach on the yoke this morning. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Our Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. Pray, God, You'd help us. Father, that You'd give us complete liberty to preach. We thank You for this great congregation that's here today. We pray, God, You'd touch each one. Help us to see new truths from Your Word. Help us to learn old precepts, Father, and renew them in our heart. God, we need Your help by the Spirit, for it's in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Keith, what about you and Brother Bobby Allen going to my office and get what's in there and just kind of wait at the double door till I tell y'all to come in? Jerry, you might need to help them. There's something in there I need you to carry out as well. How many of you know what a yoke is? And I'm not talking about a yoke like is in an egg. Amen. I'm talking about a yoke that you would hook up oxen with. Don't be ashamed. Put your hand up. You know what that is. And put your hands back down. There's a lot of people. This morning the Lord told me to be prepared, because there'd be people here that didn't know what a yoke was, and they need to see one. So a yoke is something that you would take to put two cattle or two horses or two mules together and teach them to work and to pull a plow or to pull a wagon, to get them to work together and teach them to respect each other and still at the same time accomplish a great work. And a yoke is something that would go about their necks that would tie them together. A yoke is something that ties. Gentlemen, if you would carry in the yoke this morning, I'd like for everybody to see that. Flip it over just like such. Stand up here where everybody can see it real high, because kids can't see it. Keith, if you'd come around this way. You can see it, what a yoke would be then. A yoke would... My head won't go through there, so don't even try, but... This would go across their necks, and their heads would go in here like so. And then this would fasten, and you'd have one cow or one horse in here, and one cow or one horse on the other side. Y'all understand? And the two have to work together. Because if one tries to go separate, guess what? They're yoked together. And they can't be separated. That's the one thing that binds them. I want to say you and I are bound by the ties of the blood of Amen. Jesus Christ. We ought to be yoked together. Amen? And this is another one over here that you can see. Same situation, just a yoke where you could tie the animals together to begin to train them and to teach them to bear the yoke. Now, the Bible says it's good for the man to bear the yoke in his youth. Why do you think they want you to bear the yoke in your youth? Because when a person gets older, it's harder to train them. They're more set in their ways. And God said that we must receive the kingdom. Jesus said we must receive the kingdom of heaven as a little child. In other words, we must be trainable and teachable and humble ourselves and to get under this yoke to learn to be obedient to His voice. Okay? You might want to lay that down there on the carpet and I'll try not to step on it. Thank you, gentlemen, for putting that up here this morning. Now, I want to say a couple things about the yoke this morning. We'll go home. First of all, the yoke is useful to wean us from the world. I can see that beast of burden. He's unruly. He's proud. He's rebellious. When you first put that yoke on their neck, they don't like it a whole lot. They buck it and do all they can to get out of it. But even though they may be stubborn, regardless, they must be trained to wear or bear that yoke. God will never use a Christian that cannot work. He can never... I mean, this is not a pleasant experience, but it's profitable. I mean, there's literally dozens of people that sit in church pews that do nothing for God. Saved, yes, probably. But they have no burden. They don't want to do anything for the Lord. They don't want to get under the yoke and bear the burden. But there are others, my friend, that are under that burden bearing the yoke. And I called my grandma and I said, "Grandma, Grandpa, tell me how it is that you train those oxen to bear the yoke." And he said, "First of all, you don't get two wild ones and put them together. I mean, they'd tear this thing apart." He said, "You'd get one that's been trained for years, one that's obedient, one that submitted his will to the will of the master and has been trained, and then you take that wild one and put him in it. So you got one strong one that's solid and one that's kind of wild. And the one that's wild, he starts bucking and trying to kick and get out of there. But that other one that's more strong and more solid, he just stands there. And my friend, that old yoke, when it's around your neck and you're trying to kick out, it'll begin to rub you and beat on you, and you can't get out of the yoke once you've been put in it. Amen? And he'll finally learn, the stiller I stand and the more I work with my buddy, the easier that burden is to bear around my neck on my shoulders. Okay? I'm not going to do my thing," he says. "I'm going to do the will of the master and the will of this one that I'm in the yoke with." Amen? So you must recognize this morning that to bear a yoke would wean you from the world and from worldliness. That the ox knoweth his owner's voice. Amen? So when you put that yoke around the neck, you may be unaccustomed to the yoke and he's looking to break your will and get you to submit. And it may be rough for a while. It may be hard to get you that's unaccustomed to bearing that yoke. It may be rough. But all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. I asked my grandpa, I said, "Grandpa, what's the best way to get that, once you get that yoke on him, and he learns, he's tossing to and fro, what's the best way to teach him to pull the plow or to teach him to pull the wagon?" He said, "It's real easy. You be good to them. You'd think you'd kick them and stomp them and switch them and beat them and do whatever it takes to make them do, but the best way to get the ox to learn the master's will is to be good to them. Now, not to let them do their own thing and let them have rule over you, but to be good to them when they're doing right." I want to say to you this morning, if you're yoked up right with the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and you're heeding and knowing His voice, let us recognize He has surely been good to us. Amen. And then Grandpa said, if they still try to buck out and you're being good to them, then you switch them. Then you chastise them. Then you discipline them. There's times when the preacher has to get up and get after you a little bit as a people. Been times, my friend, that just the love of God came down. Never know what the Lord wants to be done. But hear me, that if you're without chastisement, you're not one of His. I mean, usually when I got in trouble and I'd be running with a pack of boys and we'd be out playing ball and I disobeyed my parents and didn't do my chores, my mama would come out and she'd start yelling and hollering at me and she'd get a switch.
And she'd start switching. She never switched one of my friends. She might have wanted to. But she never switched one of my, because they weren't hers. She switched the one of them boys that was hers. Now there's times I was wishing that she'd adopted somebody else and not had me as hers and let me go. But she switched me. And there's times that the Lord has to switch us, chastise us, and teach us that as Christians, we need to bear the yoke. Wait a minute, preacher. I'm a Christian. I don't need to be bearing a yoke. Oh yeah. If you're going to work for the Lord, you need to learn to bear the yoke. If you're going to be trained and disciplined for Him, and listen, if you're going to preach the gospel, I'm a God-called preacher. I had to learn that the yoke goes around my neck, the yoke, and I have to hear His voice. And you hear me? As I run the plow through a preaching, it's a plow, my friend, that's attached to a yoke that's around my neck to bear that burden. And you as a Christian, if you're going to go witness, you don't go witness in your own power. You go witness in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He's the one you're yoked up with. He's the one, my friend, when you try to buck and kick, that He says, just calm down. I'm on the other side of this thing. It's going to be okay. The plow's going through this property, whether you like it or not. Yeah, here I go, you know. I'm telling you, we as Christians, we as Sunday school teachers, we as Bible school workers, we as Awana workers, we as choir members must realize that we all can't get up here and sing our own song, but we all come under one yoke and sing one song of unison together. We have a job in this church to do. It's laid out in front of us. It's not about going our separate ways. It's about coming together, getting under this yoke, and fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. We must know, my friend, that when we're yoked up with Him, you can't get out of the yoke. I don't care how much you kick, how much you buck, how much you're switched, how good He is to you, the yoke, my friend, once it's been put there, is around your neck for good, and you're not getting out of the yoke. Number three, once He's trained, I see some wholesome restraint. Once He's been trained, He's learned to submit His will to the Master's will. His authority has been conquered, and now the Lord, or His Master, is His new authority. He must learn to be obedient to the Master's voice. Before Sunday school this morning, it was so sweet in this sanctuary. People was jumping up and testifying and bragging on God. And I looked over at one of the guys on the front row and I said, you know, that's love. There's a lot of love in this church this morning. Amen. People's up thanking the Lord for this and thanking so-and-so for that. And you heard Sister Louise this morning. And you just give everybody a little bit of love this morning. And last week, everybody showed her a little bit of love. And coming to church is about love, amen. Wow. I want to say to you this morning how the Lord's got a yoke around our neck. And I want to say this is really my concluding point, and I want to think on this thought all morning. The yoke He put around me, it fits. It fits. I said, Grandma, Grandpa, what if the yoke don't fit around their neck? And they try to pull and whatever, and if it don't fit them just right. Grandpa said, well, we'll go get some padding and put on it. Because an ox that's had all the hair rubbed off his shoulders and has bruises and sores, he can't pull. If my friend, he's been damaged, he's useless. What damaged you? What is it caused you to be so useless for the kingdom of God? Why is it you're not concerned for others anymore? It wasn't He that damaged you. Maybe you didn't think the yoke fit just right and you bucked on Him and kicked on Him. And now there's a sore spot in your life. I want to say to you, He loves you. And even the one that's damaged and hurt, He'll take them and He'll put medicine on them. And He'll do all in His power to cure them. But you can rest assured when they get better, that yoke's going back around their neck. And they're going to plow that field. And they're going to go out and work, amen. Now I begin to think about that very weight that's put upon them. There's a weight that's attached to that yoke. That weight might be a wagon. It might be a wagon of corn. It might be a wagon of wheat. It might be a sled that they might use to pull to carry grain with. My friend, the work that they do together, they can't do by themselves, but they must work together. And let us also know when they're working, my friend, pulling this weight, they may be pulling a plow. Now the Bible tells us, doesn't it? Be ye not unequally yoked together. Let's go there. Some of you is looking at me funny. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4. I want you to see it in the Scripture. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Can you imagine? There you are. You're married. You're saved. She's not. Or she's saved. He's not. My friend, one wants to serve God and the other don't. And if you're yoked together, you see that this thing that binds them is a marriage relationship now. They'll never work together, spiritually speaking, because one wants to serve God and one don't. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I believe, fellas, don't date gals that ain't saved. You know what that'll lead to? Being unequally yoked together. You'll have a problem. Ladies, don't you just start going out with anybody. You make sure he's Christian. Amen? If you have to, take my Bible and lay in the seat between you. Amen? Hey, it'll work. Amen? It'll work. I believe with all my heart, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But read on. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I believe you ought to be equally yoked in righteousness. You hear me? There's some things you might be yoked to this morning that's caused you to be in a yoke that you can't bear. Maybe it's your self-ambition and not the Master's will. Maybe it's your greed and not His blessings. Maybe it's your will. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's attitude. I don't want anybody to see me yoked up like this. I'm going to be prideful. Hey, he's going to do what's necessary to break you of your rebellion, your resistance. And he's going to humble you to know that you're in the yoke, my friend, and he is the master. It may be alcohol. It may be some kind of drugs. You're secretly trying to do these things and think nobody knows. God says you're unequally yoked with unrighteousness, and it'll never prosper in your life. You're here to serve God. Now, Grandpa also told me, he said, what happens when if we feel like they're unequally yoked? We've got two oxen. But he said, I never did put an ox and a mule together. He said, I didn't take a horse and an ox and put them together. He said, it didn't work right. In other words, there's a height difference as well. And the yoke just won't fit just right. And even if he got two oxen and they were of different stature and size, and maybe one was stronger than the other, he could lengthen this yoke out, and he'd lengthen the longer version out for the weaker one, so that they'd both have the same burden to pull together, but one may have more of the load. And even the one with the lesser load, he's still going to pull. Be ye not unequally yoked together. Matthew chapter 11 comes to mind when discussing a yoke, and we'll be ready to close. He says in verse number 28 of Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." He wants you to already be willing to bear this yoke. I want to ask you, church, are you willing to bear His yoke? I mean, well, preacher, it depends on whom we'll be yoked up with. You're going to be yoked up with Him. Now the ox don't have a choice. When he's putting the yoke, he don't have a choice. But you are different than the ox. Today you have a choice. You can either take His yoke upon you, or you can buck wild and kick and be fancy free, but you'll be unprofitable. You'll never see growth in your life. Your family will never hear your testimony. All they'll watch is your resistance and your rebellion. They're going to do the same thing you're doing. I mean, some of you know that you ought to be in Sunday school class, you moms and dads, and you'll take your kids to Sunday school class and you buck in the yoke. You'll take them to class to teach and train them, and then you'll go sit somewhere out here and let somebody else teach them. And you'll sit out here and do nothing. You're bucking the yoke. I mean, you tell me that the Bible says to train up a child in the way it should go, and when it's old, it won't depart from it. That's really training, y'all. Take them to Sunday school and you won't go yourself. Congratulations. They know what you're doing. You ain't got them fooled, Grandma and Grandpa. They watching your life to see if you going to Sunday school or not. And you can guarantee yourself that when they getting old enough to, and you willing to bear the yoke, they're going to buck it off. They're not going to want to go to Sunday school because you don't want to go to Sunday school. And this morning I run right through your field with the plow right then. And hey, some of you, I felt the resistance when I hit the stump as it went through. Ooh, I can feel the weight. I can feel the weight. Hear me. Well, preacher, I don't believe I have to go to Sunday. Hey, all right. What about coming to church on Sunday night? A lot of us are. Your problem is you don't want to take his yoke upon you. His yoke is not a burdensome yoke like this yoke might be. His yoke I have found to be a yoke of love. I found that when he put the yoke around my neck, it fits. It's not there to hurt me or to harm me, but it's there to help me and to teach me and to train me and to discipline me and let me be more for the master than what I am today. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He says, let me show you the way. Let me show you how to handle the yoke. Let me show you how to pull the plow. Let me show you what to do with the wagon. You just follow me. You get on the long end of this thing, and you go ahead and take less of the weight. I'll take most of the weight, but you still pull with me. Right. We're going to work together. Yeah. When I say G, you G, and when I say ha, you ha. Amen? Yeah.
Amen.
That's what the Lord's expecting of this church. But there's a lot of us. We're saved, church members, but we could care less for his yoke. We don't want to do nothing. We want to sit on the stool and do nothing, and we're just happy to be there. There's some people, though, today that God's trying to birth it into your heart. Take his yoke and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Said, I'm not going to hurt you. And you shall find rest unto your souls. You're tired, worn out, defeated. I mean, this world, your job, the situations, it's got you just all cumbered up. You don't know what to do. Let me tell you what, he said, take my yoke upon you. Yeah. Oh, if I take that yoke, I'm going to have to work. Oh, no, he said, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. I want to love you, and I want to help you, and I want to be there for you. And I want to take you through places and show you things and teach you things that before you would have never known. Yeah. Read on with me what he says. He says, for my yoke is easy. Hey, Granny Louise, I found his yoke fits around my neck just fine. He said, I'll never put a burden or a weight upon you that you're not able to carry. Right. Don't you all believe? I've heard many times you say, well, the Lord said he wouldn't put more on us than we was able to handle. Hey, what can you and him together handle? Everything.
Right.
And when the weight gets too heavy for you, he says, just switch some of it over to me. I'm able to handle it for you this morning. I'm trying to talk to you today. Your comfort and your rest is not in this world. It's in this yoke that you're yoked up with him. My friend, this morning there's no better person to be yoked up with than Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to say this to you. God's wanting you to be holy. And he wants you to live a dedicated life. You'll never do that according to the world, but only through his yoke if you'll bear it.
Amen.
Yes, I realize Sunday school is an extra hour on Sunday morning for you. But you don't have a problem going to work at 7 a.m. You'll be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Yeah, but preacher, that's why I can't on Sunday. I'm so tired from the rest of the week. If it weren't for the Lord, you wouldn't even have a job to go to.
That's right.
You think about that next time.
Amen.
My dad was telling me that he had went over to my Grandpa Haney's house over in Spring Creek. And he and my mom had just been married. And Grandpa would get out and work his field with oxen. And that day he was working his field, not with a yoke of oxen, but just with one old mule who was harnessed up there. And in that bright, and he was pulling the plow. And Grandpa had plowed with that mule for years. She is 27 years old, and he could tell you anything at all about that mule. He could speak to her. She knew that was his voice speaking. But my dad got behind and grabbed the whole of that plow, and they began to go through the field. And that mule kicked up after all them years of being in the harness. That mule kicked up, started pawing and kicking, trying to do anything she could to get out of it. Dad would holler at her to stop and to woe up and gee and ha. And all she did was lay down in the middle of the field and roll over on her back and kick back and forth and watered out four rows of corn. Dad was so embarrassed in front of his father-in-law. And Grandpa Haney come run up through there and said, "Hey, Roy, Roy, what are you doing with my mule, son?" He said, "I didn't tell it to do that. It just wallered out on me." I mean, after all these years of being in a yoke, after all these years of training, and all these years of discipline, you'd think you'd always be perfect. But that morning, she decided she'd do her own thing. And Grandpa Haney walked up there and called her, "Beck!" Up she jumped right to her feet, right to attention. Like, "Oh, Lord, he's getting..." He meant it. She knew he meant it. Buddy, she stood up there like, "Oh, here it comes. He's going to switch me. He's going to chastise me." Grandpa patted her on the backside and looked up at my daddy and said, "Son, you've watered out four rows of my corn." Dad said, "Yeah, well, lucky it wasn't worse than that. But it should be okay because you got 50 acres of corn. What's for?" He said, "Those four rows are the harvest, son. We've plowed those rows, seeded those rows, covered those rows, hoed those rows. God's rain and sunshine was on those. There's been a lot of tender care put into that harvest just to be watered out by some old mule and some untrained gentleman trying to get the mule to go through." He said, "Son, you don't know, but you've caused great damage. So are you. When you decide you're not going to bear the yoke, you're going to kick out after 20-something years of serving God, and you're going, 'Well, I'm going to do my own thing, and I don't like the church, and I'm against this, and I'm against that.' Hey, I don't care what you like and what you don't like. You're going to bear the yoke because He says this is the way it's going to be. It's His voice we're heeding. You may kick that wild and waller out, but you're wallering out some harvest, my friend. Your testimony's hurting somebody. Your testimony, 'Oh, I don't like the Bethel Baptist Church. I don't like that preacher down there.' It's going to hinder somebody else from coming to this church and getting saved. You hear me today. His yoke is a yoke of love. And if you don't like love, then my friend, you don't deserve to be yoked up with Him. You ought to be put out the field where you can kick your feet up and go footloose and fancy free, wanton and wild. Go ahead, that'll be fine. But one of these days when trouble comes, you're going to want to run back down this old altar and say, 'Oh God, forgive me for the day I tried to break the yoke.'"
Amen.
Hear me today. I could go a lot deeper with this message than I have this morning, but time restrains me this morning. But you know the gist of what I'm getting at. And there's some folks this morning who's put the yoke around your neck and you didn't like it. It was rough and it seemed hard. But know this morning, it may be unpleasant, but He wants you to be profitable. They, some of you have had that yoke on your neck for years. You know what it's like to hear His voice and to jump up and be obedient. I heard you say before Sunday school, obedience is the key. We got to learn to be obedient. You won't obey His voice, my friend. He's going to whip you, chastise you. He's going to put that yoke on your neck. You may kick out for a little while, but that yoke's going back around your neck. You might as well learn this morning, I'm going to submit myself. I want not only for Him just to get me and throw me in the yoke, I want to present myself to Him and say, "Lord, here I am. I ain't much, but I know if I'm yoked up with You, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." I'm glad this morning the yoke fits, and I've been yoked up with the right one. Hey man, you're standing with this morning. I feel like that's what God would have me present to you today. I don't know if He did any good to you. Preacher, you said something about Sunday school. I want to go to Sunday school, but I can't find the right place. Just tell me, we'll start a new one. I don't have a bit of problem doing that. Is it excuses you're looking for? Or is it a yoke you're afraid of? Sister Gina, if you'd come to the instrument this morning and play. Sister Linda, you girls would play whatever God put on your heart. There may be somebody here today, and God spoke to you about that old yoke. "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden." He said you'd find rest for your soul. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." You'll never learn what you need to learn till you get yoked up with Him.
Amen.
Your heads are bowed this morning. There's nobody looking. Friend, I promise you, if He's dealt with your heart today, you owe Him an old-fashioned trip to a little old altar. Bless you. Bless you. You say, "Lord, more than anything in my life, I need to be yoked up with the right person." And I'm glad today for the yoke that you've placed around my neck. I want to work for you. I want to help pull that gospel plow with that preacher up there. I want to yoke up with this church. God's blessing people that's coming this morning. I want to help carry the wagon. He's waking up provision that needs to be presented to the people, and I want to help bear the wagon to them. Preacher, I want to pray for my children. I want them to know that I'm bearing the yoke, and I'm glad for the yoke He's placed around my neck. And I want them to see that. I don't want them to see my mistakes or my errors. I want them to watch me yoked up with Jesus. Folks are still coming. I'm concerned for them. I want them to be trained. I want them to be taught in the things of God. And I believe the best way I can teach them is to show them, take the yoke upon you and bear it for Jesus' sake. Be the best thing you ever done. All over the house, people's moving this morning. What about you, my friend? He's asking you, take the yoke. Don't buck out and kick on him. Just say, I know the Master's voice. And this morning, if He spoke to you, you know who it was spoke to you about it. You know what you'd better do. If you won't humble yourself this morning, it might be when He spoke to you, you're not willing yet to put the yoke on you. You're still trying to buck wild. God's going to train you. Chastisement will come, but it'll be for your benefit. God bless you that are still coming. Dealing with your soul today. He wants you to be profitable. He wants you to grow for His glory. He wants you to live a holy and a dedicated life. And my friend, He'll use you as such if you're willing to take the yoke and work in the field. God would use you and your family as a blessing. Use this church to bear the gospel to this entire three-county area. You want to see this church grow? You want to see, preacher, I'd like to see us build a new sanctuary. Put the yoke on, my friend, this morning. Watch what He'll do with it. Our fathers, we bow in Your presence. We bless Your name this morning, Father. We thank You for the goodness You've shown to us and mercy. And God, Your yoke that You put upon us, God, You saw fit to save us, and we thank You for that. But God, our old flesh wasn't saved. And God, it still wanted to do this or do that. And You were telling us to crucify the flesh and to put on the new man, the saved man. And God, we tried to buck wild on You. And You said, I'm going to put You in that yoke. And I'm going to teach You to be. I'm going to train You to learn of Me. And God, I remember how we bucked. That old yoke got around our neck. We thought we could get away and do what we wanted to and lead You around. But God, we found out You're stronger than us. We're wild. You're not. And God, we learned that our old yoke beat us half to death. And God, we learned, God, in that yoke we're so thankful for, to submit to Your will and the will of the Master, to work together with each other and You, Lord. And God, I pray, Father, You'd touch this crowd today. God, that You're teaching them to bear the yoke. God, maybe they bucked on You. I pray, God, they'd say, forgive me, Lord. I want to yoke up again. Maybe there's others today, God, say, I've been bearing the yoke for years. And I want to thank You for letting me be yoked up with You. I found that old yoke to fit my neck real good. It don't hinder me. It don't hurt me. It's a yoke of love. It's a yoke of the blood. It's a binding of the Holy Ghost. I'm thanking You for that today, Lord. For the yoke truly fits. And help us, God. Oh, Lord, as a church, if we're going to work for You and prosper You, God, to go Your way, heed Your voice, submit to Your will, and be obedient, Lord. God, we thank You for these things. Now help us, Lord, in 27 years, if we're still living, God, not to buck out and kick out on You and while we're out to harvest, but help us, God. There's a lot of planting and a lot of thought gone in to making sure that the harvest comes in. And God, I saw 27 or 28 young people taking up an offering this morning, Lord. And I pray, God, I'd never do anything to hinder them and to hurt Your harvest. And God, I pray this congregation of adults, God, they'd do nothing to hurt these little ones coming home. God, the Bible tells me it'd be better for him to have a millstone hung about his neck and cast into the depths of the seas than to offend one of these little ones. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, You'd help us this morning, God, to take the yoke of our Sunday school class, the yoke of our church being faithful to it. And God, I pray today you'd help us to live that holy and dedicated life. For your glory we pray and we seek. In Jesus' name, amen. I like what Miss Nora said this morning. She was talking about Sunday school class. It seemed like right at the first it'd be a burden to teach Sunday school. But then she said, I found out it'd be a privilege to serve God with these ladies. It's the way it feels the pastor too. You feel like at times it's a great burden, but then other times it's the greatest privilege because we're yoked up with the right one. That's a blessing and a privilege. It's not a burden to bear his yoke. It's a privilege to look over on the right side and see him working with you and through you. What a blessing. All hearts and minds clear this morning. We do thank you for coming today, and God bless you. Be praying for us as we head for the Tuxedo First Baptist Church. Preach a revival meeting this week. Tonight, Brother Brandon Pittman will be preaching and be praying for him. And on Wednesday night, Brother Tim Wilson will be here preaching. So y'all be praying for him as well. Pray for us as we're away. Pray that God would save souls and rekindle fire in church that really needs it. I can't bring revival. God can. If you'd pray, you may say, preacher, how do I know what's really going on there? I'll tell you something. Never been a place I've gone as your pastor that you ain't been yoked right up with me. You might not have physically been there, but if your prayers been praying for me, if there's been any souls won, if there's any glory been lifted to the Lord, then you'll help get credit for that. Because never one time have you said, preacher, we don't want you going to that other church to preach. But you've always said, if God can use you in that way, please go. We'll be praying for you while you're gone. And I appreciate that from the depths of my heart. I hope y'all have a good week. No men's meeting tonight. We'll do that next week. Mother's Day service coming up. Make sure the seniors, you all sign up. God bless y'all. Thank you for coming.